Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we thank you for your word that sustains us, your word that shares your truth with us, your word that calls us to faithfulness. May we have the hearts and minds to not only hear it, but to understand and believe the truth that is in it for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Some years ago, David Smith, in a publication entitled British Weekly, shared the following true story. The quaint Scottish saint, Rabbi Duncan, was a minister of the Perthshire Church. On one communion Sunday, he observed a woman troubled by lack of assurance, passing the cup untasted. He stepped down, took the cup, and handed it back to her, saying in broad Doric talk, "Take it, woman, take it, it is for sinners." One of the things that is so wonderful to me about World Communion Sunday is that it is such an inclusive communion. There is no way anyone can think that they are the only ones sitting at the table of Jesus, or that they don't deserve to sit at the table. And I think it's so important to reflect on this today, as many are taking communions online in their homes, as you are. And it's easy to see it as a private experience, but it isn't. It is a corporate communion. It is all inclusive of people around the world. Over the years, many battles have been fought over who gets to come to the table. Who gets to eat the bread and drink the cup? Does the bread and the cup become the actual body and blood of Christ, or is it a powerful symbol? Jim Wallace, the founder of Sojourners Magazine, said that he once cut out all the passages in the Bible that dealt with the poor. And he would hold up that Bible and say, "This is the American Bible." There are many churches in our world today where the poor and those who are different, or those who dress differently, or those who speak a different language, or those who are strangers, are not welcome in the church. Think about how welcoming we are today in the church, especially in a nation as divided as ours. There are churches today where if there are politicians or people who believe differently than the powers that be in that particular church, then they are denied communion. They are not welcome to Christ's table. I want you to think about our passage today from Matthew. And I also want you to remember that this passage and this book were written after Rome had been sacked around 70 AD. And the third temple, the one that Jesus knew, was in ruins. Who is represented in this story then? The story is an allegory. The people are symbols for other people. The vineyard is a symbol for people. The owner is God. The caretakers of the vineyard, the tenants, are the priests and the Pharisees. The vineyard represents the people of Israel. And today, in last week's parable, are about the abuse of power by the religious leadership of that time. However, as Clarence Jordan, the author of the Cotton Patch Gospel, once said, Christians make a serious mistake when they try to apply the parables of Jesus to other people without first trying to see themselves in them. What if God sent a flaming liberal or a Trump conservative to sit down at this meal with us? Could we welcome them and break bread with them? What if God sent a white supremacist or a Black Lives Matter activist? Could we drink the cup with them? Our parable today reminds me of a point made a number of years ago by the late Reverend Robert Morris of the Interweave Center for Wellness and Spirituality in Summit, New Jersey. And he wrote the book, Wrestling with Grace. And in it he says, or he refers to the psychiatrist, Arthur Diekman, who makes the point that we can engage in an instrumental or have a connective state of mind. And he writes about that. In the instrumental things mode, we relate to things and people according to our fears and desires. And we manipulate things and people for our own purposes, be it survival, pleasure, or meaning. The connective state of mind, on the other hand, is receptive rather than instrumental. In it, we relate deeply rather than manipulatively. We connect to realities beyond our own ego borders. The tenants in the vineyard fail to connect to realities beyond their own ego borders. And using the landowner for their own gain, they act out of an instrumental rather than a connective state of mind. Today, as we celebrate World Communion, we are asked to break out of our instrumental mode and truly see the connective state of this table. We are asked to remember that approximately 16 hours ago, people began gathering at Christ's table and will continue to gather for another 8 hours. People will speak the liturgy in different languages, dress in different ways, in countries we like and countries we don't like, to celebrate at a table that welcomes all without question because they have been invited by Christ. Who is invited? Are immigrants legal and illegal invited? Are white supremacists and Black Lives Matter, the families of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, invited? Is there someone today who you cannot sit next to? Maybe we need to pray about that. I'm reminded of the 1984 movie, Places in the Heart. Edna Spalding, played by Sally Field, had a husband in the movie who was sheriff of the town, and at the very beginning of the movie is killed in an accident. It's in Texas during the Depression, and she struggles to keep her 40-acre farm from going under as she also cares for her two young sons. She hires an itinerant Black person to plant and grow the cotton. And she hires a blind veteran after being forced to by one of the townspeople. But he ends up being very helpful to her. In the end, we see a communion service with all of the people, even those who are dead, sharing in the sacrament, except for one family who are seen leaving town. The thought was that they could not sit at the table of Christ with black people sitting there. The only way we can begin to repair divisiveness in our society today is if we can sit down with the people God loves, which is everyone. It's interesting to note that Jesus never does say how the owner of the vineyard acts or should act in his story. We only hear the response of the Jewish hierarchy that they wanted to kill Jesus because they realized he was talking about them. Reverend Dr. Anna Carter Florence, currently the Peter Marshall Professor of Preaching at Columbia Theological Seminary in Decatur, Georgia, once wrote the following. All we can say is what we know. God will forgive 70 times 7. God will welcome the prodigal home. God will open the banquet to tax collectors and prostitutes. God will raise the dead to new life. What we know about what God would do is that it is incredible, unreasonable, and irrational. Not at all what we would do. How would we respond? Remember the words of the Scottish minister. Take it. Take it. It is for sinners. Maybe another way to ask is, can you love the person you may be sitting next to at the table of Christ and tell them to take it? Amen.